Good afternoon. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries again. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, we worship you, we praise you, we thank you for this beautiful, magnificent, glorious day that you have made for us. We're so grateful, Father, for this beautiful, magnificent day. Lord, I ask you to bless the word as it goes forth today. As people listen to this, reveal why we can't get our prayers answered. Help us to understand what is ours and how to get our prayers answered. Now, Father, I rebuke every evil spirit that would even think about coming against this equipment or anything else. I rebuke you, Satan, and I command you to get your hands off of every man and woman and off of my equipment and stop messing with me in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I ask you to reveal yourself to each one of us as we discuss further the reasons why so many people have unanswered prayer. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Now then, I think that one of the major reasons why we have so few answers to prayer is that we have such poor prayers. I mean, I see so many people that don't pray today at all in faith. Now, when the church realizes to the extent that we have failed to get our prayers answered, our prayers of intercession, we cannot get God's hands to move, and we absolutely forfeit our right to answered prayer because we fail to pray. Now, this is the greatest reason for the lack of answers to prayer, and that is prayerlessness itself. We do not pray. We just absolutely hardly ever pray. I don't know how many people that somebody will say, "Brother, I need you to pray for me." And the next guy will say, "Oh, okay." And they'll walk off. And when they walk off, I said, "That guy asked you to pray for him." He said, "So?" I said, "So when are you going to pray for him?" "Well, when I think about it, I will." No, you call that guy back and let's pray right now. Let's don't wait. That's the reason we don't get our prayers answered, because we don't pray. The church's prayerlessness needs no proof. Each man stands convicted at the bar of his own conscience. The days of the praying men and women seems to almost have gone away. Now, the Western church has absolutely lost its praying ability. It seems like we don't know what it means to pray. You get somebody to pray for you for 5 minutes, you've had a long prayer meeting. But yet, if you really want to go back to the scriptures and you look and see what happened there, you'll see the men and women in the New Testament, many of the men and women prayed for hours and even sometimes days before it came to pass and they got the answers to their prayers. So we have to learn to be persistent in prayer. We have to use the examples from the Word of God to base our faith on to pray. So when we come to prayer, first of all, if you don't pray, you're not going to get an answer to prayer. And when you do pray, you must pray in faith and not unbelief. It just never ceases to amaze me today at the people. And after they do pray, I ask them, "Do you believe you got the answer to your prayer?" And many of them will say, "Well, I hope so," or "I hope God was listening." Now then, any time you say something like that, that means you were praying in unbelief. Because if you had found a scripture that could have guaranteed you that you would have the answer to your prayer, then you could have prayed in faith. And when you come to the Lord and remind Him of His mighty promises, and you pray in faith, using the name of Jesus every time, you will begin to get a whole lot more of your prayers answered. So whatever you do, you need to change to do things the way the Word of God declares it to be done. Now, I think that the average local church provides a very intelligent educational program through the Sunday school and such auxiliaries as Vacation Bible School. And it may also provide very well-directed youth programs, including all kinds of recreational Bible camps. It may even sponsor teachers' training and personal evangelism classes. Many churches launch evangelistic campaigns, and they'll have big-name evangelistic parties with a high potential of religious entertainment. Many have an efficient, well-structured, and highly successful stewardship and financial program. But now, all of these things may be working smoothly and in high gear, but this is not to discount any of these programs per se. They may be all well and good, but if they are substitutes for an effective prayer program, they may be useless so far as damaging Satan's kingdom is concerned. Now, if you're not doing damage to the devil's kingdom, you're not getting people saved, you're not getting people healed, you're not getting people delivered, you're not doing enough praying or enough studying of the Word of God. In fact, one of the things that just absolutely astounds me today, that the number of pastors that I hear say the miracles went away with the apostles. I can find no such thing in the Word of God to declare this. A church without an intelligent, well-organized, and systematic prayer program is simply operating a religious treadmill. Now, one fears that this is an appropriate description of so many of our church programs today. Now, if we could see as God sees, we would behold a great forest of giant ecclesiastical treadmills operating in depth all over the United States and in many other parts of the world. Such an operation may be very exhilarating. It may employ enormous manpower, absorb almost limitless time, and demand a huge financial budget. And it gives an illusion of accomplishments and success. And it may even flatter the ego of some people as you look at the magnificent buildings and the structures. But any church program, no matter how impressive, if it is not supported by an adequate prayer program, is little more than an ecclesiastical treadmill. It is doing little or no damage to Satan's kingdom. And when I think about all the different people that I have heard that says the days of the apostles went away 2,000 years ago with the first bunch, I cannot see that at all in the scripture. Well, the scriptures are clear in 1 Corinthians and Ephesians that there's a fivefold office. Number one is apostles, and number two is prophets, and then evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are the fivefold ministry of the church. I'm going to tell you that prayer is where the action actually is. God does nothing but in answer to prayer. Now then, prayer is striking the winning blow. Service is gathering up the results. The prayers of God's saints are the capital stock of heaven by which God carries on His great work upon this earth. There was a time when I doubted that we could only get things done by prayer. But after I have come to understand more fully the deeper aspect of the theology of prayer, as I am convinced of this truth, that nothing happens except in the answer to prayer. And since this is true, then indeed prayer is absolutely where the action is today. Now there is a wonderful example of what I've been talking about here in the Word of God. As you go back into the Old Testament, you'll see the conflict between Israel and Amalek. Now, God had brought Israel out of Egypt and was leading her toward the promised land for the purpose of developing her into the messianic nation. Now, Satan, the great enemy of God, and his messianic program sought at this point to hinder the further progress of Israel toward the land. Now, he stirred up the heathen nation of Amalek, a descendant of Ishmael, and sought to use the Amalekites as his instruments of opposition. Now, as the battle was being joined, Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek." Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said, and they fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up on top of the hill. Now as it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Now that's in Exodus chapter 17. Now you know, if you read the Bible very much, you know the rest of the story. When Moses grew weary and had to rest his arms, Aaron and Hur stood on either side and supported him until Amalek was completely defeated and God's plan for the Messianic nation proceeded. Now then, to the superficial observer, the action was on the battlefield where the troops were in combat with the enemy. But the spiritually discerning man knows that the real battle was being fought and the victory won up on the mountain where Moses, Aaron, and Hur were unitedly holding aloft the rod of God, the symbol of his power. Now the Amalekites were merely the tools of Satan. They were controlled and inspired by satanic forces. When the three intercessors on the mountaintop unitedly engaged in believing prayer, the demonic forces motivating the Amalekites were bound and they were paralyzed. Then Israel prevailed. But when weariness compelled Moses to rest, the evil spirits were released and again energized Israel's foes. Therefore, Aaron and Hur united with Moses and strengthened him, assisting, holding up his hands in intercession until the going down of the sun. Thus it is said, Joshua vanquished Amalek, but the real action was on the top of the hill. There the evil spirits were bound so that Joshua and Israel could prevail. The winning blow was struck on the height of intercession. Joshua and Israel merely gathered up the results. Therefore, prayer is where the action is in every case. Prayer and commanding in the name of Jesus today is the two mightiest forces that you have and the two greatest weapons that you have to come against the enemy with. So whatever you do, use those against the enemy. Now then, I'd like to invite you to write me, The Living Savior Ministries at Box 35, Justin, Texas, 76247. Box 35, Justin, Texas, 76247. Or you can call me for audio and video tapes, 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And on the web, www.tlsm.org. Like to invite you to our church every Sunday at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. That's 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. We start at 2 p.m.